Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, January 10th. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, a wholesale power utilities accelerated shift from coal-fired power will result in cleaner power generation in Colorado, but will deal a deep blow over the coming decade to the economy of far northwestern Colorado. Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association on Thursday said it is planning to close all of its coal-fired generation in Colorado and New Mexico by the year 2030. The move comes in response to state requirements and goals and demands from some of the local power cooperatives it serves to move toward cleaner and increasingly cheaper power sources. But for Moffitt County, the consequences will be dire. Tri-State plans to fully close its Craig Station coal-fired plant by the year 2030. Along with the local Kalawayo mine that supplies it. The plant employs 253 people, and the mine, 219. The decision also leaves in doubt the future of the local Trapper mine, which also supplies the power plant. Moffitt County Commissioner Ray Beck called it a dark day for Western Colorado, and specifically for Moffitt County. Tri-State last year shuttered its Nucla Station coal-fired plant in western Montrose County after earlier committing to close it by the end of 2022. It is now planning to close its Escalante Station plant near Pruitt, New Mexico, by the end of this year, affecting 107 employees. Tri-State plans to provide $5 million in community support there and work with the state and local communities on things including workforce retraining and other economic redevelopment efforts. From Capitol coverage, Governor Jared Polis outlined his vision for Colorado during his second State of the State speech to a joint session of lawmakers on Thursday. KUNC's Scott Franz has more on what Polis is hoping to accomplish this year, as well as the partisan battles that might get in his way.
The opening days of the session are typically jovial and largely free of partisan politics, and the governor capitalized on that mood during his roughly hour-long speech. After an interruption from a heckler in the gallery, he started with a recap of his first year in office.
We lowered health care costs. We lowered taxes for small businesses. We provided more affordable housing options. We made the largest ever state investment in transportation, and we delivered free full-day kindergarten for all.
This time around, he laid out an agenda that includes helping more children get into preschool, giving parents paid family leave, and reducing healthcare costs with a new public insurance option.
We estimate that the public option will save Coloradans an additional 9-18% on their individual premiums. And furthermore, the public option will empower folks in the 22 Colorado counties where there's currently only one insurer and no choice.
And on those subjects, the differences between the party in control, the Democrats, and Republicans surface.
We hear things from the governor that are clearly going to take money out of the pockets of working families in Colorado and distribute them to others that the governor and his party think are more deserving than those people who earn the money.
That's Republican Senator Bob Gardner reacting to Polis' speech. Democrat Dylan Roberts liked what he heard.
Glad that he put in our idea for a public option in his speech, and I look forward to working with him as well as all the other involved stakeholders to get that bill through into his desk.
So will the Polis agenda sail through the legislature? Even before lawmakers started the session, they were bickering over some of the bigger issues, including transportation funding. Here's House Minority Leader Patrick Neville and Democratic House Speaker Casey Becker clashing over their track record.
We have everything else on autopilot that increases the budget year after year, except for transportation. That's the one thing that always ends up on the back burner, and it's time that we put that on the front burner.
Well, that's just not true. Because we, in the last 3 years, I think our commitment from the general fund to transportation has been over $2.5 billion.
Because Democrats and Republicans are still in opposite lanes on the issue, I asked Senate President Leroy Garcia what path he sees going forward.
Transportation is a priority in Colorado, but I think we also have to be having that conversation while we also talk about the real constraints that no one else faces in this nation like Tabor.
In other words, no specific proposal is out there just yet. The session starts after voters rejected a plan last year that would have let the state keep more money for transportation that the Taxpayer Bill of Rights otherwise sends back to taxpayers. Other battle lines are being drawn. Democrats like State Representative Dylan Roberts are hoping to pass a new public health insurance option.
This plan puts some limits on how much hospitals can charge under the plan. It raises the amount of money per dollar that insurance companies have to spend on your actual care.
But the state's hospital association and Republican lawmakers like Patrick Neville are vowing to fight it.
It's going to lead to cost shifts to the private insurance market and the private market that eventually they're not going to be able to withstand, and they're going to go out of business, and this is going to be the only game left in town.
There's also some early disagreement over a paid family leave proposal that stalled last year. Even Democratic Senate President Garcia says the bill needs some work.
And that's going to require some compromise. That's going to require people being willing to give and take on this bill.
Finally, lawmakers say they will try to move beyond some of the other heated partisan drama from last year. You might remember Republicans asked for a 2,000-page bill to be read at length to try and filibuster an oil and gas bill. So Democrats brought in computers to speed the process up. Will we see more antics like this? Garcia is hoping his Republican colleagues will move beyond last session.
I think it's important not to spend a lot of time there, but to remind people that there were some who felt that those tactics would work. And in the end, they didn't work. They run the risk of making this building and this fine institution look like that of Washington, D.C.
In a possible sign of hope, some of the first bills being introduced are bipartisan, including a measure that would raise the purchase age for tobacco products from 18 to 21. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
And this is from the Delta County Independent. Following the January 7th Delta City Council meeting, the council held an executive session during which members decided Delta City Manager David Torgler would be placed on paid leave until council can decide how to handle a personnel issue. The reasons behind Torgler's paid leave were not immediately available. Executive sessions are closed to the public and the press. Delta Mayor Ron Austin said he was unable to answer questions regarding the personnel issue, but said the official statement resulting from the executive session is, quote, Delta City Manager David Torgler has been placed on administrative leave with full pay while the City Council considers a personnel matter, end quote. The council appointed Delta Parks and Recreation Director Wilma Irvin as interim town manager.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, January 10th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.